Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stand, Lord, in thy presence and in the message of the Lord, glorify thyself, even as you have always done. And let the word of God be mixed with faith and surrenderedness in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus,
amen.
We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory.
Amen.
And as always, we know that the entrance of God's word brings light. Let that light shine,
amen, amen,
in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. And somebody says,
amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We welcome you to this service this morning. I am Pastor Yato, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, and this is GMI Church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, this morning, the promise, the altar, and the blessing. So that's the title of our message / teaching this morning, but more of a message, you know. So it's the promise, the altar, and the blessing. Now, for every promise that the Lord gives, the devil is going to challenge it. Amen. Well, that's his job. He's got to do his job, you know. So the devil's going to challenge the promises that the Lord gives us. And I want you, when you get a chance, listen to the message. It's called, I believe it's on the December 23rd, 2012. On our website, it's called Contradictions Against the Word of Promise. That's Contradictions Against the Word of Promise. So I want you to listen to that. That'll give you a good background, because I'm not going to have a lot of time today to preach. I'm going to condense it, you know, so but you should listen to that. Now, so the devil is going to challenge every promise that God gives. But the real blessing, see, now, of course, you should never let the devil get the last word. Amen. You should hold on to the promises of God. Hallelujah. I want you to respond back to me. Amen. That's right. So, you know, but the real blessing comes when God himself tests you over that promise and you pass the test. So that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. Now, you know, the devil, he will challenge the blessings, the promises of God. Well, he's got to do that. And you need to stand firm on the promises of God. But the real blessing comes when God himself puts you to that test over his own promises and you pass the test. That's when the real blessing comes. So I am going to be speaking from the story of Abraham this morning. You know, of course, everybody, you know, Abraham is renowned, as we know, as the father of faith, you know, because just about everybody who's been to church or anything, they know the story of how God promised Abraham, gave him a promise, and it took him 25 years before he realized that promise in the coming of Isaac, you know, through Sarah. And God said, you know, out of the lineage of Isaac, not Ishmael, but Isaac, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So we see that how God promised it to him when he was about 75 years old. And it took him 25 years. And you've heard us talk about that many times and so forth. You know, how he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he kept on believing. Now, so people call him the father of faith because of that. But I want to tell you something this morning. That exercise that Abraham went through and all that he did there, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 20 to 22. All that Abraham went through in the challenge of him believing God and standing there, you know, he said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that God, who had promised, was able also to perform. You know, he was persuaded of that. And look at the next verse in verse 22, what God said, you know, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So, you know, that was really righteousness. That's actually what God imputed to him for righteousness, because he believed the promise of God. But we're going to see how the real blessings of God came to him through that promise. So, the ultimate test was from God himself. Now, of course, the devil challenged the promise, right? When God gave him the promise and said, you're going to be the father of nations, he hadn't even had a child. And you've heard me say this before, and the people of his age would have chided him and said, we always knew that you were kind of out of it, you know, or crazy. But how are you, a childless man, going to do more valiantly than all of us put together? You're now going to be father of nations when you don't even have a child? Father of nations indeed. And they could have mocked him, you know, but he changed his name. And he carried that testimony in his life. Hallelujah. You know, he changed his name. He said, God spoke to me. My name will no longer be Abraham, but it will be Abraham, because I will be the father of nations. 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years goes by, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years go by, you know, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, you know, all kinds of things happened, you know, but he kept on and believed God. And at the end, let's see all the promises of God. So here's the promise that God gave him. I'm going to go through this very quickly. So I want you to put up the scriptures for me very quickly. Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 7. This is the promise that God gave him. Genesis 17. And verse 7. I'm going to read a few verses, just jump around a little bit in that chapter so I won't have to read it all. Starting at verse 7 of Genesis 17. Here's what the Lord said. I will establish my covenant between thee and between thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee, you know, the land which thou art a stranger and so forth, the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And he told him, you know, so. And then let's jump to verses 15 and 16. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, you know, Abraham. So as for Sarah, you know, your wife, you know, here's what he said to him. Well, I skipped one verse. Let me just go back to here, verse 5. You know, here's where God told him that his name will no longer be Abraham. Neither shall thy name anymore be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations that will be. That's where he gave it to him. And now let's look quickly at verse 15. And God said concerning his wife as well, Sarai, your wife, will no longer be called Sarai, but she's now going to be called Sarah, you know, as her name will be, because, you know, so. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to bless her, you know, with a son, you know, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings and peoples shall come from her. You know, of course, you know, they got impatient. Sarah did. You know, she even laughed when the Lord came into the tent and so forth. You'll see that in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Let's just look at verses 10 and 14. You know, when the Lord visited Abraham, he said, look, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And when Sarah heard it in the back, in the tent, she laughed, you know. And the Lord challenged her and said, you laughed. She said, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, yeah, of course you did laugh, you know. And verse 14, the Lord said, is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? Now, that's a question that I'm posing to you today. Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? Come on, somebody. Is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. Now, that was the promise that the Lord gave him. And now let's look at Genesis chapter 21, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah as he had spoken, you know, and the Lord did unto Sarah, sorry, as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bear Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, Abraham called him the name of the son. He called him Isaac, just like he was given, you know, by the angel of the Lord even before that. Now, so, that's the promise. Now, keep that in the back of your mind. This is what God promised, you know, and if you read the whole story, I don't have time to read it. The story of Hagar, how she got Ishmael, how Sarah gave Hagar her maid servant to Abraham because she got impatient and all of that. Now remember, you know, God promised it. They got impatient and tried to, you know, work something out. Well, you know, that didn't quite work out. We're still having the effect of it till today, you know. So Israel is still suffering the effect from the Arabs and so on till today. But that's not my message today, you know. But when God promised it, he actually did bring it to pass. And now when the promise finally came, this was the promise that God had said, look, don't, you know, I will bless Ishmael also. You know, he also will have 12 princes and he's going to be this and that and all that, you know, but it's not him. It's going to be Isaac. Praise the Lord. And when God called the blessing in Isaac, Abraham finally, when he got that Isaac, he cherished that son, you know, because he remembered the promise. You know, he remembered the Lord said, from thy seed, and it's the Isaac's seed, not the other seed. Thy seed, that's where all of the nations, so all this promise of being father of nations and all the thing, and you know, and I, you know, God might have prophetically even revealed to Abraham what was going to come down the line, you know, and then, so all of this was going to come through Isaac. My goodness. You know, and again, it was a son in his old age, so he really loved him, you know, so that's the promise, and that's how the promise came and all of that. But now let's look at the test. Here's the test. In Genesis chapter 22, let's look at the test. Now, verse 1. Now, King James, you know, is a, you know, it's got a little bit of a confusing translation here in the word tempt. This was really a test. And it came to pass, after these things, that the Lord did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, this is the promise. This is what God promised him. This is the man, this is the son that finally came that he cherished, and this is where he built all his dreams. See, the promise came, and then Abraham began to dream big dreams. That God said, I'm going to be this. God said, I'm going to be that, you know, and it's going to be through this child. And so he loved the child. And the Lord turned around and said, well, take that child and go, you know, make him there as a burnt offering and so forth. So, well, of course, Abraham, you know, he obeyed the Lord. He packed things and he went and so on. I'm not going to read the whole story. Now, you can read the whole story and see what happened there. But I'm going to just cut it brief to bring out some viewpoints because of time. Now, also, if you have time, I want you to also listen to a message on August 19, 2012. It's called, Give It All Back to Me, Say the Lord. Now, that talks about a lot of these things which I'm going to skip today. You know, so, but the Lord gave it to him and he asked him to give it back. You know, and he went and started to obey the Lord. He, of course, took Isaac and all that. Let's read it, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. He said, behold, I see the fire, because Abraham took the fire, he took the wood, and took his son. And he told his servants, you stay here, let's go worship, and we'll come back. You know, and, you know, and the child said, well, you know, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamp? Amen. And Abraham said, God, hallelujah, will provide for himself a lamp. Wow, that was prophetic right there. God will provide himself. Abraham probably didn't know what he was saying, but he prophetically, he spoke that. God will provide for himself a lamb. And did he ever, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus actually did come, you know, so this was a 2-for-1 prophecy. Well, you know, the thing which Abraham spoke today, I mean, on that day actually came to pass on that very day, but there was also some greater fulfillment in the future. So they went and came to the place, and the next thing you know, the father began to tie up the son, and the boy is like, Dad, what are you doing? And he tied him up, gagged him up, and so forth, you know, tied him up, tied up his hands, tied up everything. And the boy is scared to death. I mean, he's like, what are you doing? You know, and he just, you know, and he put him on the altar, tied him up and so forth like that, you know, began to, you know, try to crank up the fire and so forth, you know, and all that. And he took the knife and he was ready to slay the child in obedience to the voice of the Lord. And listen to this. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said unto him, Lay not thy hand upon the child, neither do him any harm. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted up his, and Abraham was like, man, I tell you, it was a big relief. He was ready to go through with it and so forth. And he was, you know, he was bewildered. Everybody was bewildered. I mean, this was something that God promised, but he obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now, Abraham had developed a relationship with God. There are many aspects of this story. I wish time would let me tell you all the aspects of this story. But Abraham had developed a relationship with God to the extent where he knew God's voice. Amen. My sheep know my voice, and they will follow me. And a stranger's voice they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. You know, now, you know, today, you know, I don't know, if God told somebody, well, God's not going to say this, but if he did, now don't quote me and say God's going to say it, I didn't say that. But if he did, you know, and he told you, go sacrifice, I don't know what you would do. I don't know what I would do, really. I mean, that's a great test, you know. I don't know. But the Lord already knows you. He knows what you can take. Amen. Praise God. You know, maybe some of us stand up. I rebuke that voice in Jesus' name. I rebuke that voice. Abraham didn't rebuke nothing. He knew it was the voice of the Lord. And he said, the Lord, you know, in his mind, just like Job, he probably said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. You know, I don't know what he said, you know, but in his mind, he knew. He said, look, whatever, you know, I'm just going to do what the Lord said, you know. And so the thing was this. This is the promise that God gave him. And this is the dreams, you know, that he had of how he's going to be great and become, you know, Genesis 12. After the story of the people, you know, that wanted to build the tower in Genesis 11 and God scattered them. In Genesis 12, even before these things, God called Abraham. We've preached a message like that also called Greatness is from the Lord. God called Abraham and said, I will make thee great. Amen. Now, Abraham wasn't looking for greatness, but God said, I will make you great. Now, all of those things coming into his mind and knowing now that this is how God's going to probably bring that greatness, and God telling you, lay it on the altar and destroy it right now. My. But Abraham, he was willing to choose the voice of the Lord above his own dreams. He was willing to surrender everything to the Lord, even his greatest hopes, you know, in this great promise that God gave him. He was willing to lay it all on the altar. And somebody say amen to that. In the book of John, chapter 12 and verse 24, there is a secret to this message, and this is the punchline right now. You know, Genesis 12, if you can put that up for me to help me so I don't have to, you know, be doing this. Genesis 12, 24. Now, the story says that, no, sorry, not Genesis. John 12, 24. It says here, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, that's contrary to human wisdom, you know, but that's the way that God has appointed it. And even Christ himself, and Christ was speaking about himself right here. You have to read the whole chapter. You know, was speaking about himself right here. You know, but we can extrapolate that to our lives. Now, Christ, if he had not died, he would have been the only Son of God. Hallelujah. But through his death, he brought many sons unto glory. And that's why you are here today. That's why you are listening. That's why you are watching. Because Christ, that perfect corn of wheat, he fell into the ground and died. And out of it came forth an abundance. But he had to give something up. Jesus, one time in the flesh, he prayed. You know, in fact, blood was coming out of his brows. He prayed. He wanted to go for that gold. was praying for you, folks. And he was praying for me. And I'm glad that my name was on his mind when he was praying that prayer. Amen. Because, you know, my sins were so many that blood were coming out of his head in order for him to redeem me. You know, but he got me anyhow. Amen, somebody. He said the kingdom of God is like a man that found treasure in a field. And he hid it and he went and sold everything that he had. And came and purchased that gold. He purchased that field so he can get that gold. I was on his mind when he was hanging on that cross. And he prayed that prayer and he got it. But look at all that came, you know. In fact, you all have to read the book of Revelation chapter 7. And see as far as the eyes could see. As far as the sands of the sea. Those that were arrayed with white linen. Well, they did come out of great tribulation. But nonetheless, you know, God has always more people than the devil. Amen. That's all that Jesus got. Because he died. See, the seed had to die. In this case, in this message today, the promise may need to die on the altar. That is today's message. You know, and then when Abraham, I'm going back to Genesis 22. When Abraham was told, don't lay your hand upon the boy and all that stuff. Listen to verse 15 of Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord. Now, in those days, they used to say the angel of the Lord. It could also be the Lord. You know, but they said the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven, you know, the second time. You know, and said, you know, that's how, you know, they say the angel of the Lord. But we know it's really the Lord, you know, because here's what he said in verse 16. By myself, you know, there's only one person that can say that. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. You know, so even though he said the angel of the Lord was really the Lord speaking to him, you know, for because thou hast done this thing. Now, here comes the blessing after the test. Now, first, the promise. And God put that promise to the test. You know, it wasn't sufficient that the devil chided him and tested him throughout all those 25 years and say, well, yeah, we'll see what will come of that, your promise. You know, all those 25 years, the devil tested, but that didn't bring forth the blessing. What brought forth the blessing was when God waited for that promise to come, God actually now put that promise itself to the test in Abraham's life and see whether Abraham will choose that promise ahead of the Lord. Anytime you put anything, even if it is something that God himself promised, when you put that thing ahead of the Lord, God becomes second place. And God will not be second place. Amen. God will be first place or no place at all. And so the Lord, he said to me, because you have done this thing and has not withheld thy son, even thy only son from me. He said, look, that in blessing. Now here comes the blessing, folks. In blessing will I bless thee. And in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as it starts. You know, now if Abraham had failed that test, well, who knows what will have happened to this promise. But, you know, God knows how he chooses them. Amen. God knows who he chooses, but he'll put it to the test. The Bible says he scourges every son whom he receives. And I tell you today, God will test every promise that he gives you. Amen. Even the promise of our Lord coming, he's testing it right now. You know, because people are saying, you know, the scoffers are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, you know, we've been hearing this thing for hundreds of years. For decades, they have been telling us, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. You know. And yesterday, the outreach, one person said to us, he said, God doesn't love me. He said, well, you know, it's easy for you guys to say God loves you. You are in your air-conditioned house. You are in your air-conditioned car. And I'm out here in the street. I'm eating garbage from the street. God doesn't love me. But of course, we told him, God loves you. Amen. Praise God. Now, God is not always responsible for everything that happens in the world, you know. But God is there if we focus on him. He can have always a way of escape. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so when God tested Abraham, listen to this. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 to 15. The Holy Ghost later referring to this great thing that happened in the life of Abraham. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, I love, every time I read the scripture, I get goosebumps. When God made promise to Abraham, you know, people, when you want to swear, you have to swear by somebody greater than yourself. That's how people swear. So God also, you know, looking for somebody greater than himself to swear by. He looked everywhere and he couldn't find anybody. Therefore, he swore by himself. Hallelujah, somebody. And he said, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And I will multiply you because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have given back the promise unto me. Because you have laid it on the altar and you have not held back. You have not held back and you have obeyed my voice. Oh, so after he had patiently endured, well, through those years, but also that great test at the end, you know, he inherited the promise, but God tested that promise even after he thought he had that boy, you know. So today, here is the message. We need to put God first in our lives. Amen. Now, you got to have dreams. You know, if you don't have a dream, you're not going anywhere. You know, you got to have a dream. That's good. Dreams are good, you know. But the promise is even better. But once you have the promise, you can dream based on the promise and all of that. But the real test comes in our surrenderedness to the Lord. And that's why they sang that hymn just shortly before I began preaching, "When I Surrender All." And we're going to sing it again at the close of this. After you've had a chance to listen to this, though it's brief, I want you to meditate upon it. Now, there is a real promise that God has given your life. I mean, of course, this Bible is replete with promises from Genesis to Revelation. It's all over the place. You can lay hold on any of them at any time. But anyway, sometimes God gives you personal promises. You know, after that you have obeyed the written word of God, the voice of God can come to you and give you even personal promises. And we see that in our lives. But no matter what the promise, the real blessing comes after God puts that promise to the test. The story of Joseph. I don't have time to read the story. I'm just going to paraphrase it. The promise came to him by dreams. You know, he was a dreamer of dreams. And he said to his brethren, look, I see that your sheaves and so forth, you know, made obeisance to my sheaf. I see that even the 11 stars and, you know, this and that, made, you know, bow down to me and all that. You know, so the thing was there, you know. Prophetically, he saw it. But I tell you something, folks. He went through a lot to get to that promise. You know, God tested it. The Bible said the word of the Lord tried him. The Lord tried him. The Lord tested that promise in his life. And he went through all kinds of things. From fire plant to fire, if you want to call it that. You know. But every step of the way, he got a little closer to that promise. Amen. Everything that happened to him got him a little bit closer. You know. But the thing is this. When you pass the test that God has given. Now, some of you may have had a real promise from God. And you may have had, and I sought the Lord about this message, you know. And some of you may have had some real blessings about the Lord. I mean, some real promise from the Lord. And it may be being delayed. Well, it may be being interrupted. Well, here is the prayer that we're going to pray today. And I preached a message like this one time. I say, you know, Holy Ghost invasion. And I say, look. You need to give God permission to interrupt your dreams. Interrupt your life. Interrupt even his promise when he challenges it. You know, it's not everyone that's going to be asked to do this, you know, seemingly crazy things like this. But if God asked it, are you willing to do it? You know, are you willing to let God interrupt your life as it is? You know, in order for him to bring forth the real blessing in your life. The challenge today is this. I want you to take this challenge today. And as I begin to speak now, I want you to stand to your feet. Stand with me to your feet here. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to focus upon the promise of God in your life. What is it? Now, we know that the church has some great promises from the Lord, the greatest of which is, you know, I will go and build a place for you. And when I am done, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be with me also. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, even as I overcame and I inherited all things. And he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. These are great promises, and we're looking forward to it. But there's also personal promises. From where you are now to get to that place, there's going to be all kinds of things that you are going to go through, you know. And right now, especially for the younger generation, you know, God wants every one of us to thrive, not just to survive, but to really thrive. But, you know, you're going through a lot of things. But that promise may not come to full blossom in your life until you are ready to lay it upon the altar. Is somebody understanding the message this morning? Now, don't let it be your job. I've known people, you know, and look, I know, you know, I'm a little older, you know, perhaps than many of the young people here, you know, so maybe your situation is different than mine. But don't let your job, you know, some people are looking for work, you know, and they're looking and they're looking and they're looking and they're coming to church, they're praying, they're doing all kinds of things, they're trusting the Lord and believing God. And then when they have that job, they can't come to church anymore. Praise the Lord. Now, that's not a good thing, folks. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't let your job, and I know young people, they are struggling, trying to raise a family and doing all these things, and I understand that. Look, we've all been there, done that. You know, but don't let your job take priority over the Lord in your life. Don't let your even relationship, don't let anything, don't let your school, don't let the promise of a promotion, you know, whatever it is, no matter how great it is, even if it was God himself that appeared to you and gave you point blank that promise, don't let that promise now take the position of God in your life. Because God will put that promise to the test. Especially when your heart is so engrossed, like Abraham. He loved that child. His heart was engrossed in that child. Because he was believing that this is the place through which that promise is coming. And God said, is that a far? I'm going to put you to the test. Hallelujah, somebody. Now I want you to lift up your hands. Now this time, I'm going to pray a prayer. And we're going to sing that surrender song again. And I want to challenge you to surrender everything to the Lord. The thing that you are struggling with, the promise that you are chasing, surrender it to God this morning. That's when the real blessing will come. Hallelujah. Some people chase promise of, I want to get married. Some people chase promise of, I want to get children. Some people say, I want a job. Some people say, I want a better promotion. Some people say, I'm having trouble on my job. Whatever it is, put it on the altar this morning. And see the real blessing. Now, all over this place, I want you to raise up your hands. And if you want to kneel down and surrender it to God, if you want to come forward, that's fine. Just make sure you spread out. If you want to stay wherever you are, I want you to take it and put it on the altar this morning. Whatever it is that's uppermost in your heart, I want you to surrender it to the Lord. As we sing this song softly, I want the music and the praise team to be so soft. Let's sing it softly in consecration this morning. And then I'm going to pray. I surrender all. I surrender I
I surrender. Oh, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender.
Cut the music. I want everybody. Pray your own personal. Never mind the person that's to your left or to your right. This is you, between you and the Lord. I want you to take that thing, zero in on that thing that has stood, might have stood between your relationship and God. You know, maybe that's what you are chasing. It could also be something that God promised. But whatever it is, I want you to bring it to the altar this morning and lay it on the altar. For the Lord. Take time by yourself and pray your own prayer in this place. Let him hear your voice, the voice of your heart this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray here this morning. And I pray that you give every one of us, beginning with me, the grace to submit it all to the Lord. In Jesus' name. Submit it to the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name. I want you to take a minute of prayer. I want the praise team to sing that song again. I surrender. Give it all back to me. Give it all back to me, said the Lord. Whatever it is that is uppermost in your heart, give it all back to me, said the Lord. Put it on the altar for the Lord this morning. You've heard it said that if you bring the sacrifice, the Lord will send the fire. But I say unto you today, if you bring the promise and lay it on the altar, the Lord will send a blessing. The real blessing will come after we pass the test of real surrender unto the Lord. Father, today, as our people, lift up your hands, everybody. As our people surrender, we surrender it all to you, Lord, this morning. We ask you to be and take the preeminence in our lives. Whatever it is, Lord, be it yours, my spouse, my children, your spouse, your children, your aspirations, your dreams, your hopes, your business, your enterprise, you know, your craft, the works of your hand, whatever it is that you're really trusting God for a breakthrough for, put it on the altar this morning. Lay it before the Lord. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Father, we turn it over to you this morning. Be thou lifted up and exalted, and take the preeminence in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. And let the real blessing come forth as your people turn it, everything, over to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord this morning, praise the Lord. I know that was a little bit challenging and sobering message, but you should still rejoice. Put your hands together. Let's rejoice before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, normally with a teaching or message or preaching like this, we would call the prayer line and pray over you on that surrenderedness. But you know, we had a prophecy from a man of God many years ago. His name was Neil Frisbee. He said later on in history, they'll pass laws that will prevent even laying on of hands and so forth. You know, well, not exactly that right now, but it's almost like that. But I tell you something, I'm going to pray one last prayer. And this is the prayer that I wanted to pray for every person. And I didn't call out the prayer line because of the current situation. But I want you to put up just one hand, your right hand. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do something special.
Amen.
In your life. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Look at the hands that are raised up, Lord. I ask you, Lord, even as we have surrendered all to you today, the seed has been put in the ground to die. I pray that that seed, that promise, in your life, in the lives of everybody here, you, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. I pray that that seed will now begin to spring forth unto multiple blessings in your life, in Jesus' name. The real blessing of God, which he ordained for you through the promise, that might have been held back and abstracted by anything. Today, having surrendered it to the Lord, wait and see the salvation of the Lord. I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, make yourself real in the lives of your people. And let us see, every one of us, the salvation of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. And we turn it all back to you after all said and done. No matter how great we become, we remember that it was all because we laid it down on the altar. And we thank you and praise your glorious name in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.